go down, for I have a clicker, and I need to more or less do what I have to do. But I'll go down. Let's see if this comes back. Okay, thank you very much, Gavin. As I was saying in the sermon for this morning, it's actually it's afternoon. The qualities of faith. My daughter was talking to me when she found out that I was preaching, and she begged to me and said, "Dad, could you please preach short?" And Brother Rob, you know how that feels. So the fact that I haven't been feeling well this whole week, I've been battling what I eventually found out was flu. I had some sort of strain of the flu, not the bad one, it's not too bad. I had a slight one. I don't know if there's a good one, but it wasn't the bad. Nonetheless, I've been battling with that, as you can see and hear through my voice. My daughter was sick first. I think I got it from her, and you know how that goes. Nonetheless, we are here, and I am thankful to the Lord because I've been praying to him. I said, "Lord, you have chosen me to deliver this to your people, and just give me the strength to be able to do this." And I am confident that that is going to be the will of the Lord. Please, I invite you to open your Bibles with me. It is the book of Hebrews. Can I ask you a question? Who wrote the book of Hebrews? I did not hear a consensus there. Who wrote the book of Hebrews? Are you sure? Okay, that's a study for a different day. If you read the book of Hebrews, the author is not implied. It's not given to us who the author is, but because of the way he speaks, the author, we tend to think that it is Paul. But it's not necessarily 100% sure that it was him. Nonetheless, whether it was Paul or not, it is the Word of God. Amen? And believe it or not, when we read, I would like to invite you, because this study is actually on the whole chapter. And then when my daughter sees the whole chapter, she's like, "Wow, that's a lot." But we'll skim through a lot of the minutiae, and we'll go right to what we need to go. For now, faith is the substance of things, what? Hoped for, says my version of the Bible. The evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Who obtained a good testimony? Which elders? The elders of the church. Are they talking about the elders of the church there? Who are they talking about? The patriarchs. Thank you. By faith we understand, verse 3, that the words were framed by the word of God. The worlds were framed by the word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. In other words, was there a human being when creation took place? Hello? There was nobody there. So how do we know that creation actually took place, according to what we just read? By faith. Because nobody was there to tell us that this is the way it happened. Exactly. So we believe, even though we do not see, we believe. And that is what here the author of Hebrews is trying to say. Verse 4, by faith, and now we go to the elders. It says, by faith, Abel offered to God more excellent sacrifice than Cain. We know this. We can have a whole sermon on this. Though, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. What does that mean? But the word righteous here is very powerful. Well, we can discuss that later, but I want to get to something even more important here. Every time I read this, I always ask myself questions. I think that's a bad habit I have. I'm always asking questions. Anyway, I am in verse 4. It says, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. It's saying that because if we read the biblical passage on what Abel and Cain did, it says that Abel's gift or Abel's sacrifice was acceptable in the eyes of the Lord, and Cain's was not. And it was righteous because he brought forth with obedience to what the word of God was asking of him, not whatever he wanted to bring. So he didn't bring whatever, he brought what was asked of him, which is what was counted to him as righteous. We continue. And through it, he being dead still speaks. What does that mean? Even though Abel is dead, what is speaking to us about what he did? His testimony that he was what? That he was faithful and obedient to God. Even though he's been dead for thousands of years, today, as we are studying the book of Hebrews, we are reminded that this man was righteous in the eyes of the Lord. Therefore, his testimony is speaking to us about obedience. And we believe this by faith, just like Abel did what he did by faith. Now, I can continue reading, but I will stop at verse 6. It says, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had his testimony that he pleased God. So how do we know that he pleased God? Somebody wrote it. Somebody was a witness to that. But nobody ever found Enoch because Enoch was taken away. And he walked with God, for Enoch also walked with God in faith. And verse number 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, this particular verse of for without faith it is impossible to please God, what does that mean? I mean, let me put it to you this way. Do all people of religion, now listen carefully, do all religious people have faith, yes or no? Think about this. I didn't say whether or not they had the right faith. I just said faith. Yes. Think about this. If you are a religious person, whatever that person is deciding to worship, they have faith. But the faith we are talking about here is the right kind of faith. It is the faith that is based on the one and true God. Because the pagans also have faith, but they got faith in their own ways, in their own mentality, in their own beliefs. But it's not what we believe that we have faith in. We have faith in the Lord himself, which is a little different. As I ask myself the question of what it means that it is impossible to please God without faith, I came to the realization and said, you know what? I can't see God. Has anybody ever seen God? What does the Bible tell us about that? No. It says nobody has ever seen God. So the only way we can actually believe in God is through faith, because nobody has ever seen him. The only way we saw God was through Jesus Christ when he came to the earth. And he was here for a very short time. And yet people who saw him still didn't believe. Think about that. How important that is. So here we are trying to understand what this all means. But Hebrews 11, let's see if this moves forward. And I do have it on. Okay, Hebrews 11 has been called the Westminster Abbey of the Bible. What does that mean? The Westminster Abbey of the Bible. You'll have to know a little bit of our of a little history here, what it means. But the phrase "by faith" that we find in chapter 11 of Hebrew appears 18 times. And the author, who was eager to continue, but knowing that he could not, exclaims, "And what shall we say more? For the time will fall if I tell," says verse 32 of the same chapter. He could have spoken a lot more, but he was in a hurry, and he sees that he doesn't have enough time to explain everything. And it says, you cannot read this chapter and say that faith is just credulity, or that people of faith are fools. No. Though some people are named and many people are not named in this chapter, okay, they all have one thing in common: through faith. Every single verse that we read talks about through faith. They faced life and its hard side and overcame triumphantly. These men and women of faith did not do, or they actually did the impossible because they believed in a God who knew no limitations. People of faith stop at no cost and evade no dangers. And this is very important as we understand who these people that chapter 11 is talking about. But what it is proper to honor these people as heroes of faith, now listen here carefully, it is essential for us today to be reminded that what God, through people of faith, was able to do once in the past, He can do again. Amen? The Lord can do again the same thing that He did with the people in the past. New names must be added so that we can perpetuate the triumph of God in our lives. The heroes of faith that are explained in this chapter, as we're going to go through, new names, your name and my name, could be added to that list. For they did what they did by faith and faith alone. What then are the qualities of faith that will make us triumphant? And that is the question. And there is a reason why this particular topic was brought forth. And it has to do with genuine faith. But let us see what these qualities are. Number one, the first quality that we see, that it is a positive faith. Now, as I'm reading this and I'm going through the sermon, I want you to please think about your own faith. Is your faith positive? You ever feel, you ever see people who are constantly negative? I was talking to my son, and he has a part-time job. And he goes to work. I mean, he doesn't really like his job very much. But then he says, "You know, Dad, when I go to work and there are so many people, people are complaining all the time, and they're so negative." And I'm like, "I know. I see them too in my job." You know, we all seen the people who are very negative, but a positive faith is something really, really good. For the quality of faith is rooted where? It is in God. He is a God whom absolute faith can be placed. These heroes knew that faith, as Ellen G. White puts it in Testimonies for the Church, is the spiritual hand that touches what? Infinity. The spiritual hand that touches infinity. For example, let's take a look at Abraham. Abraham was a childless man. And he was promised a family, as many as the stars in the sky, as we see in Hebrews 11:12. He was promised to have that many kids. Later, Paul testified that he, Abraham, did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strengthened by faith. We find that in Romans 4:20. Remarkably, all of the obstacles piled in his path disappeared before the demands of his positive faith. He was called to leave, and he just took off. You remember what land he used to live in? Ur of the Chaldeans. He just left and packed and left. How long it took him? That's a different story. But he left, not knowing where he was going, the Bible says. It is interesting for us to realize that, let's see if this moves, okay. It's interesting for us that God has always presented, was always present with these heroes of faith in the Bible. He revealed himself to them, but he also expected them to respond to him. It was God in relationship to man. In other words, there was no intermediary. It was God directly speaking to them, and they would respond to God directly. You know through all the stories of all these people. Abraham, God spoke to him through dreams, and he responded to what God was saying. The striking factor about Abraham's faith is that even as the voice of God was ringing in his ears, this 73-year-old Mesopotamian man, even as God spoke, he was going. In verse 8 of chapter 11, we see and we read that by faith, Abraham was called to go and obeyed and went. Continuing on. The relationship that we have, this relationship, it is extremely important in our own lives that we need to understand that it is a relationship between two people that are close. It is an I-thou relationship that is the primary factor in a positive faith experience. That you are talking to somebody who is alive. It is your God and he will answer you back. It's a personal relationship that we have. As we see in the next slide, those names that appear in Hebrews 11 did not live in easy times or under favorable conditions. Everything was not happy-go-lucky for these people. Okay? We read in verses 33 to 38 that faith, writes Ellen G. White in Testimonies for the Church, and she says that faith grows strong in earnest conflict with doubt and fear. The positive, unflinching faith of these heroes was grounded on the assurance that God would ultimately provide something better for them. And we see this in verse 40 of the same chapter. So this leads us to the second quality that is triumphant, and that is that the second one, it is a daring faith. Now, what does that mean? What does a daring faith mean to you? How daring was Noah when he was preaching, and as Brother Douglas was talking about, he was mocked and he was scoffed, and people were ridiculing him. He built a boat to save the world from a flood at a time when rain was not known. So why did he build this boat? By faith, because God had told him to do it. And how daring was Daniel? How daring was Daniel and his faith when he peacefully slept on the mane of a lion that had him part of his lunch? That Daniel was going to be lunch. And what about Rahab, who risked a traitor's death to spy for the people of Israel? And who can forget Samson in his final daring stand at the temple of Dagon? Is it Dagon or Dagon? Dagon. All of these and more possessed an audacious faith in God who knows no defeat. The early Christians in the church, I found this picture to be very interesting. I'm sure most of you have seen this picture before. The early Christians, in the literature of the early Christians, the Christianity was known as the Way. As a matter of fact, that is found in the book of Acts. It was known as the Way. It was a way which seemed irrational to many people. Though scorned and ridiculed, believers would follow Jesus, even if it meant that they would die in an arena or a coliseum. Their daring faith was mightier than death itself. And what would happen as a result of these people dying as martyrs? What would happen? Do you remember in the story, in history, what happened as a result of that? More Christians were converted. More people came to the feet of Jesus and the cross. An amazing thing. This leads us to the third point. And in this chapter, chapter 11, it gives us a record of men who left home, country, and the fortunes and went out with God. All of them. Abraham, he gave up his luxurious lifestyle. By the way, Abraham was a rich man. Did you know that? He was a rich man. He gave up his lifestyle and wealth to wander like a nomad without knowing where he was going. Moses. What about Moses? I mean, Moses was adopted only by the princes of Egypt. I mean, he was the heir to the throne. I mean, that's at least according to the movie. But the Bible also tells us that he was next in line to be Pharaoh. But he left all of those royal titles and riches to lead a people who ultimately would be constantly sinning and constantly doubting God and asking for other gods. And yet he did it anyway. Daniel gave up going back to his native land in order to serve the Persian kings. I mean, think about this. What kind of, who was Daniel? If you remember correctly, was he of royal blood? Yes or no? Yes, he was. Daniel was of royal blood, and he chose not to go back in order to serve in the courts of the Persian kings. Interesting. Christian generosity is a sacrificial generosity. Our faith in Jesus Christ finds its expression first in giving ourselves to him, and then, by extension, in service to others. Look what it says here. Faith must be generous if it is to be helpful, because faith and works are what? Two oars which we must use equally. See, a lot of people have this battle between faith and works. I have so many discussions with people that says it's all about faith, 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 faith. And the minute they touch on works, they say, ooh, you're legalistic. I said, wait a second. I said, no, it goes together. You got faith, you're going to act as if you have that same faith. Whatever you do is going to reflect what you believe. You can't just have faith and then do whatever you want. This is part of what we spoke about earlier this morning. It's not just one way, it's together. It's the whole thing together that works for the glory of God. Equally, as we see that Ellen G. White points in this particular book called Welfare Ministry, in page 316. And number four, I think I will be true to what Kellen had asked me to do, that faith is an active faith. And this is where I am going to go over a little further. Because faith is not something that we believe only. Faith is not something that you read about other people having, as we have been reading in chapter 11 about all these heroes of faith. Faith is an active faith. It is an active faith. It has to be translated into action. The remarkable thing about the people of faith in this chapter 11 is that they did not wait to see the end before they acted. In other words, Abraham did not see to have a million kids before he said, Lord, I will go. He went and believed that he was going to have kids or descendants as far as the stars or as the sand of the beach or the desert or what have you. They didn't went and did it anyway. They were not expecting a reward right away. They knew it would be coming. The writer says, and these all, having had witness born to them through their faith, received not the promise. That's in verse 39 of chapter 11. True faith will act even though the outcome of faith cannot be seen. When not seeing is believing, it is without knowing when. It is without knowing when. It is important for us to realize that as we walk our Christian lives, as we are Seventh-day Adventists in this church, that even though it is good to come on the Sabbath day to worship the Lord and to sing and to praise Him, that is not the true definition of who you are as a Christian. It is not about coming to church and sitting in pews and singing with Winston and the praise team. And it's not about just listening to the preacher at this moment. It's about what you do with your life. It's about what's happening with the time that you are sacrificing. For your faith must be active. It cannot be just a thought or an idea or just an expression. It must be alive. It must be something that the Lord can count on, because He has put us for a reason here. Some of you are asking yourselves today, when? When are things going to get better with my family? When am I going to get better with my health? When are going to things clear up in this church so that I can serve? When is somebody going to come who is a real leader and can lead us in this church? When am I going to know what you want me to do with my life? Lord, when am I going to get well? Faith is what enables you to walk with God even though you do not have an answer for the questions of when and how. Are you listening to me, church? I know it's lunchtime, and I know those stomach juices are going crazy, and it's taking a toll on us, but it is important for us to understand the faith will enable us to walk with God even when you do not have an answer for the questions of when or how. There was a story of Abraham when he was bringing his son, and his son asked, he says, "Dad, where is the lamb?" And what did he say? "God will provide." And the same answer could be well taken for us. God will provide. It is our faith. We have to make sure that that is what is happening. And always remember this. When in faith we take hold of His strength, He will change the most hopeless, discouraging outlook. And we find that in Prophets and Kings, page 260. He will change that which looks bloom, that which looks that has no answer, and He will provide to us what we need. Amen? It is important that we keep this in mind as we come to the conclusion of this very short sermon. And it's that our study on Hebrews has given us a very short study of Hebrews, I would say. It has given us and presented us with men and women with audacious faith. Audacious faith. God, the church, and our communities. Let me share this with you. This is very important. God, the church, and our communities. Are you listening to this? It's not just the church. It's not just God. It is the people that surround us, our communities. They are also looking for new heroes of faith. A faith that is positive, number one, as we spoke. A faith that is daring. And a faith that is generous. And lastly, a faith that is active. All those four things are extremely important. The question this morning for all of us to ponder upon is, how far will my faith lead me? If you believe in yourself, such as the world says, believe in yourself and everything else can be conquered, I'm not too sure about that. Yeah, you have to believe in yourself. I mean, but that's not where it stops, because the strength that we have is not from within us. You see, this idea of Christianity is craziness to the world. You and I are both crazy in believing in something we do not see. It is why we see so many atheists, Brother Douglas, coming around and attacking us at our faith, mocking people who believe in God, making fun of people who hear the word of God, and then pretending that that is the norm in the society that we live in today. It is not. For if it were not so, I would not be here. If I hear God, the world says that I am crazy. But let me tell you something. If I hear words God speaking to me, I am blessed. And it is my sincere desire this afternoon, brothers and sisters, that you hear God's voice as well. If you hear God's voice, your faith will be increased. For the Bible tells us that faith comes by the hearing of what? Of the word of God. You want to increase your faith in the right kind of faith that would lead you to grow and to have a better life in sanctification, as we spoke about this morning. It is here in this book. For Jesus himself said, for ye study the scriptures, because in it you believe that there is what? Eternal life. And they are the ones that give testimony of me. So if we read the Bible to look for Jesus, we're going to find it. But you need his power to do it. You need his Holy Spirit to do this. For I am weak as a man, and there is nothing good found in us. It is only through the power of the Holy Spirit given to us by the Lord himself that we're going to be able to do this. So the last question is, will you, brother and sister, be one of these new heroes of faith? Will the young people of this church look up to one of you as one of those persons who has faith into accomplishing that which the Lord has asked us to do? It is my prayer that it may be so. And I would like to ask all of you to stand with me, please, one more time. As we pray, asking for the Lord to give us his wisdom to become greater men and women of faith. Let us pray. O gracious Father, Lord, we know that we're not worthy because of our sinful nature of receiving anything from you, for we deserve nothing. As Paul says, we are but filthy rags. Lord, a lot of times that which we want to do, we do not do. The good things that we know we should do, a lot of times we find excuses not to do them. Sometimes, Lord, it's better just to do that which we've always done and feel comfortable in that. And for a lot of us, it's kind of difficult to step out of our own shadows sometimes and in our own ways. Lord, but you have asked us to do your work. Lord, a lot of what you have put in your word, the true definition of Christianity is not necessarily coming and worshiping you alone. Yes, that is important. That is great. But it is also, Lord, measured by what have you done unto these little ones you've done for me. Lord, I ask you that your Holy Spirit be given to every one of us, Father, so that we may see that we need to do a lot more than just come to church. that we need to get ourselves involved and to live our faith, to make this faith a practical faith, not just a belief, but that we are willing to sacrifice that which we hold dear, which is mostly our time, but rather step out of our comfort zone and be able to go out and show Jesus to others, to be the sermon to other people, Lord. Which is why, Father, once again, I ask that you lead us in this event with the youth that we are doing, that this may only be the first step in the way in which the Wayne Church can become an integral part in this community. We want to live this faith, Lord. We want to make sure that we don't do it by ourselves, so that it's not our pride, the one in front of us, but rather we humbly ask that we hide behind the cross to do this. That it is Jesus working in our lives so the salvation of other souls can be possible. Lord, we know you're coming. You are coming, Lord, and you are here. You're much closer to coming now than in 1844. That much we do know. But we ask you, Lord, that you allow us to be faithful to you. That this faith that we spoke about this morning and this afternoon might be one that is practical, might be one that is allowing us to give out of ourselves and everything that we have. For it is yours in the end. But Lord, I ask a special blessing on the youth and all the people who are here, the people who are sick, that you may have mercy on them as well. Lord, I pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.